Our scripture today is from the Old Testament, from Psalms. We love the Psalms, and as I read through this, I thought it is so apropos for what's going on in our world today. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, until the destroying storms pass by. I cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame those who trample on me. God will send forth his steadfast love and his faithfulness. I will lie down among lions that greedily devour human prey. Their teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O God, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to all the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, for your glory be all over the earth. And I forgot to tell you where this really came from. It was Psalms, but with Psalms 57, 1 through 11. So thanks be to the Lord for our word. Okay, Mark.
Thank you, Dorothy. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark, chapter 3, beginning at the 21st verse. Hear now these words. Then he went home, and the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for they were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub." And by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons. And he called them to him, and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Here ends our reading. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word, and as we ponder upon the words we have heard this morning, may your spirit guide us so that we might come to understand and believe. Amen. In 1949, the famous musical duo of Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein were already Broadway success stories when they introduced their next great musical, South Pacific. The show ran for over 5 years, and its songs, which included Valley High, Younger Than Springtime, and Some Enchanted Evening, have become musical standards. But there was one song in the play that almost derailed the whole show. That song was entitled, "You've Got to Be Carefully Taught." Listen to the words. "You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made, of people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught." When Rodgers and Hammerstein turned the show over to their producers wanted that song removed, as it seemed too controversial. But Rodgers and Hammerstein refused to remove the song and were even willing to risk the musical's failure by leaving it in. Of course, the duo won their argument, and the show has been a success ever since. I thought of this show and this song this week as I pondered the passage from the Gospel of Mark. For the more I thought about it, the more I saw the same dynamic at work in the Gospel as in that song. This passage sounds strange to us, doesn't it? It grates our modern ears, words like Satan, Beelzebub, and unclean spirits just don't fit in with our modern world. And yet, when we read the passage, we see that Jesus takes seriously the demonic powers that are manifest in the world and names them. Presbyterian pastor Nib Strope writes, "We should look for the reality signified by the name Satan. Satan does not necessarily mean a personality with horns and a red tail, but it does name a demonic power that is actively engaged against the compassionate and reconciling love of God. This is the reality that Jesus names here, and whether we believe in a person named Satan is not as important as hearing about our captivity to the powers of evil signified by Satan, powers that continue to seek our allegiance. If we take Strope's words to heart, then Satan and Beelzebub and unclean spirits become descriptions of our modern reality and force us to see that there are powers in the world that cause us to hurt ourselves, to hurt others, and to hurt God. We don't call them unclean spirits or Beelzebub anymore, but we could and should name them. We might name them as materialism, which tells us that what we have is what gives us life. Or militarism, that causes us to believe that the weapons of war are the price of security. Or racism, that works both overtly and subtly to change society in ways that grants power to one race over another. Or patriarchy, that tells us that men have a more privileged position in society than women. And I could go on. The point is that Jesus names these forces of evil that work in our world and in our own lives. And in so doing, he is telling us that these forces must be recognized and confronted if we are to experience the gracious life and life-altering love of God. He uses the metaphor of tying up a strong man in order to plunder his property. In using this parable, he directs us to consider who or what is the strong man in our lives. Who is holding us captive and needs to be tied up so that Jesus can enter in? And we can begin to experience the new freedom that we have in Christ. And the question arises, though, even if we name these demons that are part of our lives, is how do we come captive to such powers and forces that Jesus points to in these passages? In this passage, Jesus names one central source of our captivity and demonstrates how deeply captive we are and how difficult the process of growth to freedom is. Our passage begins with Jesus' family believing that he is insane. And it ends with Jesus telling everyone that his family is, quote, whoever does the will of God. We hold the unclean spirits of Satan in part because we are taught, or as the musical said, carefully taught by our families and others who shape our growing up. The strong man takes residence within us from an early age, and it is not easy for us to bind up that strong man as we get older. It's not easy to be released from his grip. That is not to say our families are necessarily at fault here. What they pass on to us is often what was passed on to them. And it's not to say that we are to reject our families, for even Jesus, while on the cross, made sure that someone would take care of his mother. But it is only to say that who we are is shaped by our origins, and often we are shaped into something that is in opposition to God's will for us and our world. And this is the strong man whose grip is hard to break. But not impossible. Fortunately, God finds ways to break into our insulated world to bind up the demonic powers that hold on to us. And because of that, we can have hope. I've told this story before, but it feels like a good time to tell it again. Besides, a lot of you weren't here when I told it last time. When I was a child, we would go visit my dad's brother and his family late at night after we kids had been sent to bed. I would hear my dad and his brother argue over a host of things. But the arguments centered on race and racial issues. My dad and his brother were twins. They grew up together. They were in a small town, so they did everything together. And yet, if you heard them argue, you would have thought that they were from different planets, let alone different families. My uncle would talk about blacks and others needing to be put in their place, often with a whole lot of inappropriate words to describe them. While my dad would argue that we needed to fight to overcome that sort of racism and treat people with dignity, and on they would go well into the night. When I got older, I asked my dad about why he and his brother had such different views, especially since they were twins. They grew up in the same household and went to the same college, had much the same experiences, and in response, my dad told me a story. After college, my dad went into the Air Force, where he became a flight navigator. One day, while flying a training mission over the ocean, the plane he was in developed engine trouble, and my dad had to bail out in mid-flight. The plane crashed, but he safely parachuted to the ground. One of the traditions in the Air Force was that if you had to use your parachute, you bought a gift and gave it to the person who packed your chute, a gesture of thanks to the person who literally saved your life. And so, a couple days after that crash, my dad did this. He bought a gift and took it to the building where the parachutes were packed. And there he found an older black man packing the parachutes. And my dad learned that this was the man who had packed his chute. The man would not accept my dad's gift, saying that knowing the chute worked properly was gift enough. My dad said to me that after that day, he could no longer look at black people in the same way he always had, the same way his brother still did. My dad and his brother had been taught, carefully taught. But for my dad, the moment came when Jesus bound up that teaching and freed my dad to see the world in a new way, a way that shone bright with God's grace. Was my dad no longer prejudiced? Hardly. He still had demons that held on to him. But he was able to name a few, and in naming them, he was able to be released from them. And then he told me that we all have prejudices that we learned from our earliest days. He told me that he once thought just like his brother, but he said our duty was to unlearn as many of those prejudices as best we could. With help, he managed to do just that. He helped his brother. He hoped his brother would be able to do the same someday. This passage from Mark is full of hard sayings, but it is also one of hope. For the sayings come from the one who can free us from our own captivity. In the end, this passage is part of Jesus' healing ministry. And we can hold on to that fact, that Jesus wants to heal us as well. Amen.